If you're friends with somebody, you don't take sides with their enemy.
Amen.
Against them. And I hope you'll be a friend to Jesus in this whole wicked, wicked, wicked world. Telling you what, all this stuff Brother Derek's talking about in Sunday school, this man spent all these hundreds of thousands of dollars on billboard telling everybody the end of the world was yesterday. You know why stuff like that happens? Anybody who reads the Bible, it's so plain, it's unbelievable. The Lord said, many shall come, many saying, lo, He is here, lo, He is there, believe them not. That's exactly, to us, that's a sign that He really is coming.
Amen.
To the world, say, see, they're them nuts, they don't know what they're talking about, they're crazy. And the world's deceived by that stuff. And they think, see there, they crazy people said that for years. He ain't never coming. And the world right now is laughing at the doctrine of the second coming. But guess what? He really is coming.
Yes, He is. Yes.
He might come today. That ought not to shake your faith. That ought to strengthen it. The Bible said in the last days, there'll be scoffers saying, where is the promise of His coming? Heard that all my life. We ought to shout when something like that happens. What happened yesterday? I got phone calls from Ohio. Danny, you still here? Brother Danny. I said, no, I'm his secretary answering his text. Brother Danny's gone. Listen, the Lord will come when the time's right.
Right.
And that never even crossed my mind this morning. Well, I reckon I ought to get up and go. Maybe it ain't. Well, Lord have mercy, I believe it more now than I did last week. He's coming. Don't you worry about that. Amen. He'll not let no man dictate to him.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You don't tell God what to do.
Anybody?
I heard these guys get on TV and they'll say, I believe it and I command it and God has to. He don't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
To knock your head off if He wants to. I'm going to preach before I get started here this morning. Go ahead.
Until you find the Lord and you know. deep and longing for more. Oh, He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason.
You see, there's nothing in this world that's worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. Oh, He's the only reason I live. But oh,
settle down now. Please get your seat. Stay there just for a few minutes and listen to me this morning. I'm going to talk about a subject this morning that is very relevant to our day. And I'm going to give you what the Bible says about it. The Bible says about it. What I'm going to talk about this morning, you can't watch TV. You can't listen to the radio. You can't go to work without hearing somebody mention the word that I'm going to preach about today. The word that I'm going to preach about today is one of the most well-recognized words that we have in our culture. Christians and unbelievers and atheists and everybody deals with what I'm going to talk about this morning. I feel like that there's probably several in here this morning that need this real bad. Maybe there's some of you who it doesn't mean a whole lot for. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to preach about depression and what the Bible said. 1 Kings chapter 19, what the Bible says about being depressed. It's everywhere you go. I hear it all the time. Where's so-and-so? They're depressed. Preacher, pray for me. I'm depressed. So I thought I'd look and see what the Bible says about it and bring you a message on it this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. The man in the Bible here, he got just about as low as a man can go, Elijah. Elijah wasn't a drunk or a drug addict. He was a Christian, a man of God. And yet, he got to the place where he wanted to die. Y'all know it is possible for a Christian, saved, born-again child of God, to just wish you was dead. If you hadn't been there, your day may be coming. Be careful how you judge somebody who has suicidal thoughts or things like that. It may be you one of these days. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me." Notice how back in them days they believed in gods, little g. So it's the same thing that Jim Morrison of the Doors did. When he said, calling on the gods, calling on the gods. It's demons and they don't even realize it. There is only one God, capital G. Every other spirit is the wrong one. So let the gods do so to more and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. Now this made Elijah lose hope. And a lot of times what causes a person to be depressed is they lose hope. You just think it can't never get no better. And I'll talk about that here again in a minute. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Run for your life. That's where that saying come from. Came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey and sat in the wilderness, and came and sat down, don't forget that, under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "Is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. I've done just a little bit of, you call research, I call it study. My studies mainly go centering the Bible. I'm not a doctor, I'm a preacher. If you have a physical problem this morning, I can't help you except give you spiritual advice. I can't help you get your body healed. I can help pray for you. But all of our problems are not physical. Some of them are emotional, and a lot of them, some of them are mental, and some of them are spiritual. I'm not an expert on mental or physical at all. Don't claim to be. I'm not stepping onto their field. But I do believe with all my heart that sometimes people can have a physical problem or a physical ailment, and the devil sees a weak spot in a physical and makes a spiritual problem out of it. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think everybody who's depressed is full of the devil, nor do I believe everybody that's depressed has a physical problem. Some of them don't. Some of them do. And I'll leave the doctrine up to the doctors. I'm a preacher to give you spiritual advice. And I'm going to preach on the way out of depression. The definition of depression is a state of mind that creates thoughts of hopelessness, helplessness, or profound sadness. You get a poor self-image, thoughts of worthlessness, and suicide are not long after that. Let me say, it is not like normal grief. Everybody experiences normal grief when you have a time of great loss, when somebody dies, when somebody, you go through a divorce. Take me down on this one, up on my little one just a little bit, Brother Mike. When you go through a terrible time, everybody experiences normal grief. Now, I want to say something here this morning that I've been thinking about lately, and I want you to listen and make sure you understand what I'm saying. When somebody dies, when you go through a divorce, when your house burns down, you lose your job, it is normal to hurt and grieve. Normal. There would be something wrong with a person who don't experience that. It's a grieving process. Is something God designed us. If I took a hammer and hit this pulpit this morning, and then it's going to suffer some damage. So when tragedies come into our life, we're going to suffer. We're going to hurt. That is normal. I've sat with thousands of people who had lost a loved one and just bawled their eyes out. And that is not what I'm preaching about this morning. That is normal. I'm going to tell you something that's not normal. It is not normal for a person whose family member died 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago to still be locking themselves in the house with all the windows and doors shut and sitting there looking for. That's not normal. The grieving process is not supposed to last that long. I know people a lady right now, husband left her many, many years ago, and that woman still, to this day, been years, Listen, ladies, there ain't no man worth grieving over for 10 years. Say amen right there? That's what I thought you'd say. And vice versa. It's normal to be hurt. It is not normal to keep hurting forever. It is not normal. The devil sees a situation, then he steps in and takes advantage of it. So this morning, that's what I want to preach about this morning. I'm not talking about a serious physical illness. I'm not talking about a mental illness. Sometimes people have mental illness. My mother went through this. My mom was a very smart woman. There wasn't nothing wrong with her mind. But as she got older, she got dementia and Alzheimer's. And they're sort of related or same or cousins or something. But she wound up to where her mind wasn't right. Her mind wasn't right. And she thought that all of us had our cars and land took. And they put me in jail. I went to visit her in Rutherford Hospital. They had her on that ward that she was on. And she said, "Son, how did you get out?" I said, "Out of what, Mom?" She said, "Out of jail." I said, "Mom, I'm going down here to preach revival down the road here." She said, "No, you're not." I said, "I am too. Your mind wasn't right." Now, that's a mental situation. But I don't really think there's as much wrong with her mind as we thought there was, because as soon as she quit taking certain medicines, all that went away.
So I don't know if the medicine calls it. Sometimes people's medicine causes them more trouble than their sickness. And there again, I'm not a doctor. Not trying to be. I'm not telling you to throw your medicine away. But in some cases, it might help some people. Now, that's between you and your doctor and the Lord. I want to say a few things about this subject. And the first thing I want to say is everybody feels it, gets it, and gets down once in a while. Everybody does. There is no person on this earth that don't once in a while bottom out. That don't once in a while just hit rock. There's not a person that I've ever met that's normal that don't just think one day, what's the use? I'm just ready to throw in the towel. Just kill me, Lord. Just take. Ain't you glad God don't answer all those foolish prayers that we pray like that? I'm glad He don't. I've been dead years ago if He'd have done that for me. But listen, everybody gets depressed. Everybody gets down. People used to ask me, say, Brother Danny, you ever get depressed? I say, I don't know. I don't know what it feels like. If you mean discouraged, yes. If you mean down and out, yes. If you mean you wish you was dead, yes. If you mean you wish everybody else was dead, yes. If you wish you'd never been born, yes. If that's depressing, yeah, I've had it. But other than that, I'm not sure. I know. Elijah was a great man of God. And oh, Elijah, he set out one day. He said, Lord, it is better for me to die. For my life is... Just kill me. She's going to kill me anyway. That crazy woman that's chasing me around, she's going to be the death of me anyway. Why don't you just go ahead and take me out the easy way? He got down. And he sat down under a juniper tree. Like this. Here's the juniper tree. He got down under it and said, Lord, just kill me. I've had it. He got down low, brother. He got down low. And Elijah, he got down. He said, Lord, just die. He's not the only man of God in the Bible. Did you know David laid on the ground, face down for 7 days when he was down over that child praying that God would help him? Jonah got down when God spared Nineveh and he was all put out with God. He got down and he said, Lord, just kill me. Just kill me. Just take my life away. Things didn't work out the way I thought they should. Things didn't go in my life the way I had it all planned out. Why'd this have to happen? God, just kill me and take me on. Paul, the great apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, he finally looked up and he said, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ladies and gentlemen, he got depressed. I just want to help you this morning. What I want to do, and this is a pastoral sermon, and I want to help you this morning overcome it. I want to help you this morning get rid of it. I want to help you over the hump. I want you to help you to make depression a visitor and not a tenant at your house. I want to make depression a renter and not the owner of the house. I want us to make depression just a tourist and not a citizen. I want us to make depression this morning a vagrant and not a dweller. I want us to make this morning depression a guest and not a family member. Amen? We want to make it temporary, not permanent. You don't want to have to live that way. All these men that I read to you about, they came out of it. They got the victory. They left it behind. They left the dark shadow. I'm going to say to you this morning, you don't have to live defeated and down and wishing you was dead all the time. It comes to all of us. But thank God there is a way out. And hallelujah, you don't have to stay that way. Number two, I want to say it is necessary in life to be down and out once in a while and heartbroken. It's part of life. If you think everything in this world is going to go your way all the time, you are in denial. You have no idea what life is all about. Everybody here thinks, I've got to make a living, I'm going to put back some money, I'm going to raise a family, everything will be. You're forgetting one thing. You're forgetting that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, and a tragedy is going to hit every family in this room sooner or later. It might be sooner, it might be later. I know that some of you think, well, I'll pay my bills, I'll live right, I'll raise my kids in church. That's great, and it goes easy on you if you'll do that. But there is a tragedy coming to every single family in this room sooner or later. It's part of life. You get discouraged. You think, why did this have to happen? I want to say that it's necessary. It is necessary to be down. It has to happen. We have to go through dark times in order to enjoy the light time. You say, Brother Danny, is that scriptural? It sure is. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If you sow in tears, listen to me, you have to have the tears before the joy will come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You have to have the nights of weeping before you can enjoy the beautiful morning. The valleys makes the mountaintop seem sweeter. The clouds increase the joy of the sunlight. When that thing went the other day, when it was cloudy 3 or 4 days in a row and it rained and everything, and that first day the sun comes out. Isn't it sweeter? You think, glory to God, it's good to see the sunshine. I mean, I got up the other day, it had been so cold, record lows in Asheville this week. The high was 51 in Asheville, Susan. I thought, Lord, is it never going to get summertime? But boy, when we got up this morning, it's here, ain't it? I thought, hallelujah, the winter is finally over. That little blackberry winter we had the other day, it's finally over and gone. Glory to God, it's getting summertime now. I heard one of them guys on the Weather Channel, some Yankee, got on there and he said, what's blackberry winter? We hear people, I said, you are a weatherman and don't know what blackberry winter. That's how come we don't ever know how to plan nothing. Listen, brother, there's got to be winter before it can get summer. There's got to be night before it makes the morning brighter. Listen, you know, I tell you, that night we had the youth rally on that Saturday night. You remember how the Spirit of the Lord moved and how it got real sweet in there? You know what come before that? 40 days of praying and fasting. I'm telling you, there's some of them days before the youth rally, it'd be beautiful weather outside, and I'd be in the house praying. And everybody else was going to play, and I'd be down on my face. And I'd be saying, oh, Lord, please. And everybody'd say, hey, we're going to the steakhouse. And, oh, Lord, bless the youth rally. I mean, we went through that dark 40 days. But then that night, when all them about 150 kids was up there at that altar, and y'all was, the choir was up singing, remember how sweet it was? Listen, the hard times got to come so that the good times are that much better. You've got a lot of young preachers, a lot of young Christians don't understand. If God's going to use you and bless your life, there's going to be dark days. There's going to be trials. There's going to be times when you wish you had never even seen a church. There's going to be times when you'll wish you was dead. But it has to take place. There can be no harvest unless the seeds were sown, the fields were plowed. There can be no resurrection unless there was a death and a terrible problem. I'm telling you, it is necessary in our lives. So, all right, with that introduction, I want to tell you how to get rid of depression. Two or three things, right quick. The best medicine in the world for depression. I did look it up, see what it said, and it's talking about everybody's on antidepressants. There again, that's not my field. I'll leave that up to your physical condition and your doctor. Might do good, maybe not good. I don't know. I'm sure some medicine helps. But I'll tell you one mistake we are making, and I ain't a doctor, but I know this for a fact. We've got the mentality in America that no matter what's wrong, all you got to do is take a pill and it'll fix whatever's wrong in your life. And I'm going to tell you something, that is not right. That's a false doctrine. It's heresy. We're living in a day, I know young people, no, there's a pill, I want to take it. I don't care what it is, I'll take that pill. They are crazy. People are going crazy over pills nowadays. They think the answer to every problem in life is in a capsule. Now let me tell you something, brother. Medicine is good. God let us have medicine. God let us have doctors. Thank God for every discovery they've made. But we are living in a generation where if I say, it's 2 degrees too warm, take a pill for that. Or it's 2 degrees too cold, take a pill for that. I'm a little bit tired, take a pill for that. I'll be wide awake now. I can't go to sleep, take a pill for that. I tell you what you do. You get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow and you stay up all day long and don't lay around and stay busy. And then you lay down again tomorrow night. It won't take you too long to go to sleep. If you lay around all day and take 5 naps, no reason, no wonder you can't go to sleep at night. I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying throw your medicine away. Please understand me. I'm just saying, we think pills are the answer to everything nowadays. Have an argument with my daughter. Give her a pill. That'll make her easier to get along with. We got a whole generation of kids coming up on drugs. When I was little, I had several diseases and I didn't even know it. I was hyperactive. I had ADD. I didn't even know it until not long ago. I didn't know there was such a thing. And the principal had some medicine for it too. It'd heal you, brother. He'd lay hands on it. Hey, like that one fellow said, my daddy was patriotic, buddy. He put on the stripes and I seen the stars. That's right. You didn't say, well, he's so active. My little child is so active. We're having him put on pills. You put something, you put a big pill in his rear end 3 or 4 times a day. And I'll tell you what, big old pill about that long. Won't cost you a dime. You say, we took him to the doctor and he diagnosed him as hyperactive. They beat the hyper right out of us. It'll work. My mom took me out of the Methodist church up there in Clinchville in Marion and broke a switch off a boxwood bush and beat the fire out of us. Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That means they're hyperactive. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. I've told y'all over and over and over, you'll run them kids or they'll run you. That's a different message, but you'll run them kids or they'll run you. One or the other. I read this. They said, if you're on antidepressant and you are still depressed, you will want to add Abilify to your antidepressant medicine when your antidepressant medicine is not enough. This medicine, warning, may increase suicidal thoughts. I ain't a doctor. Don't claim to be. I'm not stepping on their field. If I'm down and out and want to kill myself, and then I take medicine that makes me want to kill myself. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to get into that area. Something don't sound right about that. And you've got to remember this too, people. Listen, if I get sick, I call Heather and get me some medicine. I'm not preaching against taking medicine. Son, if I'm hurting bad enough, give me something. I believe it. But I'll tell you, just as soon as that eases off a little bit, throw that stuff away. You don't want to start depending on medicine to live. If you can help it. Don't take me wrong. I'm telling you, if I'm sick, I won't help. Thank God for doctors. But we're living in a day when the least little thing, the waiter at the restaurant, what not. We're pill addicts. And I'm going to tell you something. You listen? They're in business to sell that stuff. They're in business to sell that stuff. I remember one time, Mom was fussing at Daddy because Daddy got to where he couldn't see good up close when he started getting older. He couldn't, you know how as you get older, you whatever that is, you can't see up close. He said, she said, Lawrence, you need to go to the eye doctor. He said, oh, they'd put glasses on Tom. Tom was our bulldog. He was about that high. Daddy said, they'd put glasses on Tom. And what he meant was, it don't matter who you take in there. They're going, yeah, you need glasses. They're selling that stuff. It's a business. I'm not saying all of it's like that, but the pharmacy is, and you know in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, all the preachers say that that word sorcery in the Bible, in the tribulation, is our same word pharmaceuto, which means pharmacy, which means the whole population is living on some kind of drug during the tribulation. All right. Here's how you get out of it. Here's how you get out of it. Add Abilify. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the spiritual part. Number one, I'm going to tell you how to get out of depression. You listen? Number one, this is simple, this is easy, and it won't cost you a dime. You make yourself. And the reason I say make yourself is because it don't come natural. You make yourself look at all the good things in your life that God bless you with and quit looking at all the bad stuff. You have to make yourself do that. Because the devil will make you, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. Oh, this. You know what I can do this morning? Oh, no. There's an empty seat. Oh, no. There's an empty seat. Oh, no. There's an empty seat. Oh, no. All the seats are empty. There's nobody here today. I'm going out and eat worms. Nobody loves me. I can look at all the empty seats in here, and there's a lot. It is hurt my feelings. I mean, Bobby and Seth left there. They're gone on vacation today, and so. Brother Mike, bus messed up and had to leave their kids at home. You know what I ought to say? I ought to say, glory to God, there's Monica. Glory to God, there's Bertha. Glory to God, there's Damien. There's Buddy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! You've got to look at the good things in your life and quit dwelling on the bad stuff. Now, the reason I say that is because it's not natural. The devil will make you see all the bad stuff. Poor little me. I'm pitiful. It said he requested himself. You know what Elijah done? He quit worrying about sinners going to hell, and all he thought about was poor me, and I'm pitiful, and people mistreat me, and I shouldn't have to live like this. And you know what makes you think like that? Watching the Kardashians and the MTV Cribs. You see them people on TV that's got it made, and you think, I'm pitiful. Guess what? I bet you if the truth was known, them people are more miserable than you are. They're all on pills with that. Think they will be. They wind up going to psychiatrists. Why would I want to go to some nut that ain't even saved, who's about ready to kill his own self on a bunch of pills, and tell me how to get out of my low estate? Listen. You got to start looking at what God's doing and not just what the devil's doing. Amen? You know what you'll do? You'll look at your husband and you'll see his faults. He throws his shoes off and leaves them socks in the floor. He's a devil. I should have never married him. I hate him. And all that. You know what you got to do? You got to look and say, the man goes to work every day. He pays the bills. He does this. He goes to church with me. You look at his good points and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's not perfect. He must have had something good about him, or you wouldn't have married him to start with. Amen? I mean, it had to be something you liked about him. Same way about your wife. All you do is major. You know how you fall in love with somebody? All you see is their good points. You know how you fall out of love? All you see is their bad points. You have to train your mind to quit staring and dwelling on it. It's like this. What if I'm in the swimming pool? I'm out in the ocean, let's say. I'm out in the ocean. They throw me in the water. I come up like this. It'd be easier for me just to do this. I'm drowning. I'm going to take a pill. See if it'll save me. It ain't going to save you. You know what's going to save me from drowning? I mean, we're too lazy to fight our way out. I went through a bad time one time. I mean, I was low, brother. I was low. Lord, I was low. And in a few months, boy, everything smoothed out. And there's an old boy married named Tony Parker. And Tony's a real wise guy. A real wise man. And he talked to me and he said, Brother Danny, you know what you've done? I said, what? He said, you preached your way out of it. I said, you're right. I preached my way out. That's the way it is. I dropped you out in the lake. Brother, you got to swim. It's swim or drown, man. You can't just say, well, I'm in the water. Don't something ought to kick in down there and say, listen, I'm not going down. I'm going to get out of this mess. I want to kick. Amen. I want to kick and get out of this mess. Amen. Look at what God's doing. You know what? John Wesley got robbed one time. He was a preacher. And he's out, and he's two or three men robbed him out on the road where he's riding his horse. Now, there's two ways you can do it when something like that happens. You can say, God, I've been trying to live right, and why'd you let this happen? And I ain't got no money, and I'm starving. I had that happen to me a few months ago in Kentucky. I didn't get robbed. It was my stupid fault. I got to church, and I couldn't find my wallet. And I don't ever preach with my wallet in my pocket. It aggravates me. And I'd stick it down in that little thing in the side of the door of the car. And I was in Kentucky preaching revival, and I had $300 with me. And I had money to eat off of them in case something happened. And I thought, oh, boy. I said, I hope and pray I left that in that room. And something said, you know you don't ever forget nothing like that. I said, well, maybe I did. Maybe I forgot it in my room. Something said, you never have forgotten nothing else. Why would you forget that today? Maybe I did. I hope I did. I pray I forgot it, Lord. I went on in and preached. I mean, I couldn't go back and check. I said, I guarantee you I dropped it in the parking lot of the motel. But it's time for church. I'm not going to leave church and let them people sit in there and wait while I go back and look for my wallet. I'm going to do what God called me to do and do my job and let the Lord take care of it. I went ahead and preached. As soon as church was over, I thought, I'm going to get out of here and go over and see if I can find it. I got out and had a message on my phone. It was from a cop. This is Reverend Danny Castle. So we have your wallet down here at the police station. Somebody found it in the parking lot and brought it to us. I said, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! And the cop knew me. Somehow or another, it's in Louisville, Kentucky. He said, ain't you one that used to bring that youth choir up here and sing? I said, yep, that's me. He said, well, I got your CDs. And he brought me my wallet to the motel. And I opened it up, and there wasn't nothing in it. My license in there, credit cards in there. But all my $300 were gone. I said, you crook. No, I didn't. He said, when we found it, he said, a man and woman brought it to us. And I thought, well, that ain't no use to get all bent out of shape. Thank God I got my wallet back. I had my driver's license. I had the credit card. Listen, folks. The devil's always doing stuff. God's always doing stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't mope around all week. So $300 for me. God, why'd you let this happen? I'm up here trying to preach. And you have me. And I said, well, I ain't got enough sense of you. I said, you ain't got enough sense. Hold on to your wallet. You deserve to lose it. And preach myself a sermon. And you know what? It got over with pretty soon. It wasn't the end of the world. Brother, you just say, thank God. Here's what John Wesley said when they robbed him. And I never have forgot this. He said, Lord, I thank you for three things. He said, number one, I thank you that they didn't get much. My stash was at home. That's what he meant. He said, number two, I thank you that they didn't kill me. And he said, number three, I thank you that it was I who was robbed instead of I who robbed.
That's a thought, ain't it?
He said, I thank you that I'm the one that got robbed instead of them being out here robbing people. That's the way to get out. That's the way to get out. Start looking at what God's doing. My philosophy in life is this. You that know me, know my philosophy. My philosophy in life is this. Number one, hope for the best. Number two, expect the worst. Because it'll probably happen. And number three, take whatever comes and keep your mouth shut and thank God you ain't in hell. That's my philosophy of life. And if you can improve on that, let me know. If there's a counselor, if there's a psychiatrist, if there's a teacher in the world can give you better advice, I ain't never heard it. You listen? Hope for the best, expect the worst, and take what comes, keep your mouth shut, thank God you ain't burning in hell right now. You know what? I hope for the best this morning. I hope, glory to God, the church is full this morning and 100 people get saved. I expect the worst. Probably be dead at 4 o'clock and half of them won't come. And that way you can't be disappointed. If you expect the worst, you can't be disappointed. Because no matter how bad it is, you think, well, it's better than I thought it'd be. Then thank God you ain't in hell and keep your mouth shut. Hey! It don't matter if every one of y'all spit on me today. I ain't in hell. Woo! Glory to God. I'm not in hell. The next thing you want to do to get rid of your depression is get busy for God. Do not go in the bedroom and take a bunch of sleeping pills and close all the curtains and make it real dark and turn the TV on and watch it till your eyes are burning and then you fall asleep and have nightmares and lay in there for 2 or 3 days. Don't retreat. Advance. Don't quit your bus route. Go for it. There's been times, I ain't going to go into detail, but if you've got a brain, you can figure it out. When I was at the lowest low best you can get emotionally. And every time something like that would happen, I'd have to go preach somewhere. Every time. And I've seen preachers make a bad choice by saying, I just can't do it. I just can't preach. They'll call him and say, I just ain't no shape to preach. That's a big mistake. Get busy for God. Don't retreat.
Yep.
Get up in the choir. I've seen people say, well, I'm just tore up of some things. I'm not going to sing in the choir. Get up and sing. Yeah. Listen, brother. Fuck your way out. Sit and feel sorry for yourself. Bless the Lord. Get up and say, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever. Listen, every time I ever went and preached, when I was down and out, God always blessed. Get your mind on other people and off yourself, and it won't be long till you'll start feeling better. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know if this is all spiritual, but it's true. I went through times when for weeks I couldn't even quit hurting. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I've lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks before. Not on a diet, not trying to. Eating everything I want to eat. And there's two things that gave me some relief. One of them was preaching, another was playing basketball. That's the only time I could get my mind off of it. I'd go to sleep thinking about my problems. Wake up 3 o'clock in the morning just gnawing at my stomach. You're real tore up about something? You know, you have that feeling you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and your stomach's just hurt. You think, oh. And you can't go back to sleep. You just lay there. You just lay there. And by the time you get sleepy, the clock goes off. It's time to get up. You know, anybody ever spend a night or two or a week or two or a month or two like that? If you ain't, your day's coming, young people. You just might as well get ready for it. And I remember laying there, and I'd think, Lord, how long is it going to be till time to get up? I used to dread going to bed. And the only time I wasn't thinking about it is when I was preaching. As soon as I got through preaching, not always playing ball. Most of the guys get together and play ball. And I believe in that too. I believe some kind of physical, get out and run around the house, mow grass. The worst thing you can do is pile up on the bed and cover your head up and make all the room dark day and night. That's the worst thing you can do. Wow. Now, I'm not talking if it's a physical problem. You need rest. That's different. When I hurt my knee, we were talking about a while ago, and I tore that ACL ligament out of my knee. It was hurting so bad after the surgery. You know what I wanted to do? Just lay on the bed and hold it up like that. You know what they told me? The doctor said, you got to do physical therapy. And I said, okay, what do I do? He said, you got to go to the hospital a couple of days a week, do physical therapy. And I went up there. Son, they put me on stuff. I said, go! Quit! And this woman pulled on it. And I said, how has this happened to me? My knee's hurting. You're about to kill me. If you ever had to do physical therapy, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts as bad as whatever's wrong with you. And in your mind, you're thinking, there ain't no way this could be helping me. But it is. It is. They made me do these things like this, where you stand like this, and stretch, do your little muscles right there. You ought to do that. Everybody go home and stand on something like that and pull them muscles right there. You'd be surprised how sorry shape you're in. And then they make you do stuff like that, you know, and ride on them bicycles and all that stuff. Well, to the amazement of the doctors, I was running in 5 months, running out on the road. And they said, well, I can't believe you got better this quick. And you know what? That physical therapy, it ain't fun. You don't want to do it. But it somehow or another, it helps. Now, when you're hurt and depressed, the last thing you want to do is get up and go on visitation or go visit a bus driver, or maybe you can go to church. I'm telling you, it's spiritual therapy. Get up. How many times have you not wanted to come to church? You think, I'll just stay at home, no, and you went ahead and come anyway. About that time the choir got to singing and something kicked in way down in here and you got to feeling better. That's therapy, brother. That's therapy for you. Amen. Don't lose heart. Visit the rest. I tell you what you do if you're depressed. Let's visit the jail and rest home this week. I'll go with you. You go in that rest home, go room after room after room after room. Go down there to them boys in the jail. Yeah. You ain't bad off as you think you are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It seemed like every time I went through a tragedy, I had to preach somewhere and God used it to help me. Plato was handicapped. Florence Nightingale was too sick to get up and reorganized all the hospitals in England from bed. You want me to tell you some cripples, people who are crippled? Shakespeare, Sir Walter Scott, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Milton, that guy was blind. Beethoven was deaf. Beethoven was deaf! Wow. Wrote some of the most beautiful music the world's ever seen. Thomas Edison, when he was 8 years old, could barely hear. And he invented light bulbs, record players, and moving pictures, movies, and 100 other things. They say this guy made violins. And he could make violins better than anybody. His violins had the best sound, the clearest tone. And they said one day, somebody asked him, they said, how come yours are so great? And all the other guys that made violins, they'd go out into the trees and pick these beautiful young trees with wood. And they said he would go down to the side of an old rocky, ragged mountain where there's just old rocks and ugly trees that was being out of shape and weather beaten, weather torn, weather, I mean, just beat to death. And he'd take that old knotty wood and he said he'd make his violins and they sounded way better than them that hadn't been through the storm. You get around a Christian that's seasoned and weathered and been through the storm, they put out a sweet sound, I'm telling you. And that's what God can do for you this morning. Listen, people, there ain't nobody in here any lower mentally or emotionally than what I've been before. And if I can make it through it, you can make it through it. I'm telling you, you can make it. There's medicine. Get busy for God. Be back tonight. Read your Bible every day. Pray. Witness that person. Don't say, well, I'm just going through so much. I just don't want to go to church right now. That's the dumbest thing you could possibly say. Get your therapy right here in the house of God. Here's my philosophy. Give you a lot of philosophy this morning. Here's my philosophy. If I stumble, push me on. If I fall, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. I mean that. If I turn my back on God, shoot me. There ain't but one way for a Christian to go. On. 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 Let's stand. Let's stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Thank you for your patience this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you where you need to be with God this morning? Maybe you've been saved, but you've not been living right and need to just come down here and rededicate your life to God. Maybe you know your problem and it's sin. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you know your problem and it's some sin in your life. That's your first step right there. Get rid of that sin. Confess that sin. If you're here this morning, maybe the devil's just been on your case and you've been feeling sorry for yourself. Just come on. Just get AC. Come on. There's a lot of people already coming. A lot of young people coming. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. We all get like that. Everybody in this room's like that one time or another. Ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. Come on. Get down here and say, Lord, help me. Lord, we're human, people. We're human. Let's get some help here this morning. Father, please do what ought to be done this morning. Touch every heart and every life. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help that one that may be going through a hard time. Oh, Lord, help them, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring us through these hard times. Help us to help each other. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen, amen, amen. Let's sing. Everybody, come on, right now. If you need to come, right now.
Have thine own way.